For decades, Sir David Attenborough has brought us the natural world in documentaries and TV programs. He started making these shows in the 1950s, and wherever he went in the world, he recorded music. Places like Guyana or Madagascar or Indonesia. Now dozens of those recordings are being released on a CD collection called David Attenborough, My Field Recordings from Across the Planet. And we're going to take some time now to listen to them. Sir David Attenborough, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
You were traveling the world looking for animals, so what made you decide to look for music at the same time?
Well, I was interested in the people as I was in the animals, to be truthful. And the people made marvelous music in many of the places I went to. So I had one of the very early tape recorders that didn't require a main supply to work. You could do it on torch batteries. A big, clumsy thing it was too, but it worked. And so as I'm interested in music as well as animals, I recorded music wherever I went, if ever I thought stuff was worth recording. And of course, it nearly always is in almost any society you can think of.
Many of the people you met had never seen a recorder like this. And there's a great story from Sierra Leone about a musician in 1954 who played a track that's on this album.
Well, we were working in a village up country in Sierra Leone, and the head drummer, he wasn't the chief, but he was the chief musician, and a very skilled drummer too, and the drums, of course, played in groups, and he was very suspicious of us and of our machine. And when I actually played it back to him, which you could do by using the microphone as a speaker, putting it to his ear, he was impressed, but he didn't want to confess it. So he said, oh, well, that box, as he described the recorder, he said that box may be good at learning some music, but it could only learn simple music. I mean, anybody could do that, but he wouldn't be able to deal with really complicated music. And then he played on his drum of really complex rhythms. I mean, marvellous, marvellous stuff. He said, well, now, what about that? And then when I wound it back and put the speaker to his ear, his eyes bulged and he had to confess that actually that box really did rather wonderful things.
So many of the tracks on this album are songs tied to a specific event, whether it's the birth of a child or a successful hunt. Can you tell us about one of those events and the song that accompanies it?
Well, there's a track that we recorded on an island in Fiji called Koro, who had a tradition that there was a priest on the island who could call up turtles. And we went to Koro and we met the priest. And he took us to a cliff overlooking a very deep inlet, marvellous deep blue water. And he started calling Tui Nakazi, which is the name of the turtle, Chief Nakazi. And Vunde, Vunde, Vunde. And then, to our amazement, or my amazement, initially, up came a turtle.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, really, you see? But then the zoologist in me says, but come on, dear boy, turtles be there. They're bound to come up. And if there's a good feeding around there, there's bound to be a turtle, and it'll come to the surface. However long he called, you'll get one in the end. But the legend also said that the king of the turtles, Tui Nakazi, was also accompanied by a large white shark who always came up as well. And bless me if, in fact, that turtle took its gasped breath and then up came a shark. So I had to think that perhaps it was a little more remarkable than I initially thought.
Wow. There's obviously anthropological value to these recordings. Is there also any concern about packaging up one part of someone else's culture and distributing it in a tidy, digestible form?
Well, yes, there is, and certainly so, because some of the music which we recorded was sacred music, you know, and you do have little concerns that you're making it possible to play it in secular circumstances, you might say, which were not sympathetic. But on the other hand, some of them, I mean, I recorded a marvellous didgeridoo player in Australia. This particular one was actually 10 feet long. It's a hollow, the trunk of a hollow sapling, and fitted with a mouthpiece of beeswax. And it produces an extraordinary, because of its length, an extraordinary, wonderful, vibrating, droning noise. Which carries a long way. And actually serves as being a warning for women to keep away from a very sacred ceremony.
And do you think that putting that on a CD collection like this in any way minimizes the power of something like that?
I hope it doesn't minimize the power, and I hope it doesn't offend anyone as well. But I was very particular about asking the people afterwards as to whether, in fact, it would be all right for me to play not only the music, but also the films which we made at that time.
Yeah.
And the chief performer, the man in charge, really, of the whole thing, I tried to ask him, I said, you know, is it all right for me to play this? And he said, where are we going to play it? Were women going to hear it? And I said, well, yes, women would hear it where I was planning to play it. And that troubled him. And then he said, where are these women? I said, well, they're a long, long way on the other side of the world, on the other way across the salt water, across the sea. And he thought a bit, and then he said, I'm all right, he said, that's all right.
You made many of these recordings very early in your career, some of them more than 60 years ago. What was it like for you to hear some of them again after all this time?
My memories of them are very vivid indeed. One of them is a recording of in New Guinea. We marched with up to 100 porters carrying goods and food and one thing or another through uninhabited territory. And the porters were singing. That song brings back the aching in my legs, I must say, after tramping up and down those mountains. Some of them, I hope, will be found interesting to listen to by somebody who's never been to New Guinea or anywhere else around there. The Balinese gamelan recordings we made, I think, transport you back to that magical island. When I was there, I mean, Bali now is a big holiday island, but in 1954, I only saw one other European on the island, and the gamelan music of the villages was everywhere. Every village had its own gamelan, the big orchestra of gongs and xylophones and flutes, playing its own complex music. The Balinese gamelan is the biggest group of orchestral musicians to be found anywhere in the world other than the European-style symphony orchestra. No other orchestra can compare with it in its complexity, and it's thrilling music.
We no longer make music in big communal groups as often as people did in the countries that you were visiting in the 1950s and 60s. I mean, we buy tickets to see professional musicians perform. When you think back to these cultures where people collectively make music in such exuberant ways, do you think we've lost something?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody. I mean, we are consumers and we have a professional class to provide us with music. And not to be executant is to miss a major element in enjoyment. I mean, I play the piano as far as I can, but appallingly, of course, and totally amateur. But nonetheless, you can feel what it's like to actually make music as well as just listening to it. Well, in Bali and in Africa and in South America and many of the other places where I've worked, the only music is the music that you hear, and everybody will contribute to that music. And everybody, therefore, is a critic of that music and knows when it's bad played or well played.
It may seem odd to release a single off of an album like this one, but you've chosen to do so. There's a song from Paraguay called La Llegada, or The Arrival. And before we say goodbye, tell us a little bit about this song, and we'll go out listening to it.
Well, the wonderful thing about the Paraguay is that the Guarani people play on harps, harps that were introduced by the Spanish back in the 16th century. They produce their own versions of harps, but the music they produce is absolutely ravishing stuff. And when it's accompanied by guitars, well, it's a knockout music.
Sir David Attenborough, it has been an honor. Thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure.
The album is called David Attenborough, My Field Recordings from Across the Planet. Aceitei já se arreou.